T-minus 85. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Cheers rang out and glasses were raised inside New Care Grillin' Bar and Grill as Dan's speech ended, this local crowd on his side more than any other. His father, Henry, watched proudly from the best seat in the house, right next to his old friend, Walter Byrd. Phil Norris, owner of the grill and landlord of every other storefront in the world-famous lot once occupied by a drive-in theater and still known by that moniker, raised his own glass extra high in Henry's direction from the other side of the bar. Any remotely alien-related anniversary or happening brought enthusiastic crowds to the drive-in, a once derelict lot from which Dan had first addressed the world's media in the days before disclosure, and to which he had ultimately beckoned the messengers on what became known as Contact Day. In the 2 years since that moment, the world had changed all over again, when a seemingly hostile faction from New Kerguelen arrived on Earth and hovered menacingly over Beijing. Dan's successful coaxing of the friendly messengers back to Earth occurred a few miles outside of Birchwood on that occasion, at one of Phil's houses, rather than one of his businesses, his quaint cottage at Stevenson Farm. Despite his own inextricable links to many of these world-changing moments of extraterrestrial visitation, if Phil Norris was ever mentioned at all in the media, it was merely as a footnote in recent history. This was easy enough to understand, given that Dan had been so directly involved in every interaction between humanity and the messengers, and thus made a natural target for the public's interest. Phil, a man who enjoyed his privacy more than most, was only too glad of this. His friendship with Henry McCarthy went back decades, and his gratitude for all the commercial gains Dan's fame had delivered would live forever. Ever since fame first fell upon Dan's reluctant shoulders, Phil had been assisting the family as and when he could. It had been his handiwork that fortified Dan's basement with signal-blocking technology and ultimately returned it to normal when the paranoia passed, and it was likewise him who had recently set up surveillance equipment to furtively monitor the Secret Service agents who had taken up residence in Birchwood to guard the town's VIP residence. The resident who requested this help was the only one who knew about it, Clark McCarthy, and Phil saw no reason to involve anyone else in an endeavor that wasn't exactly without risk. Like many others, Phil wasn't overly enthused by the prospect of powerful and likely disruptive technologies landing in the palms of world leaders as suddenly as might be the case when meaningful scientific cooperation with the messengers began. But also, like many others, Phil's hesitations were prevented from becoming full-blown fears by his absolute faith in Dan's intentions and in those of the messengers who hung on his every word. The way the messengers considered Dan, and for that matter, Tara, was understandable to Phil. After all, the two had bravely ventured to the unknown world of New Kerguelen and brought peace to two planets at once with some last-minute diplomacy. The death of the messenger's elders left a vacuum on the alien world, which Dan and Tara's intellectual flexibility had seemingly filled, to the extent that they were now viewed there as something akin to gods. People of ego would have reveled in such an environment, but Phil couldn't imagine any scenario that would drag Dan and Tara back to New Kerguelen. Both were too happy where they were. So much so that their current trip to New York was their first in 7 months and came only after intensive pleading from some of the world's most powerful national leaders. Tara tended to take a back seat when she could and wasn't considered quite so important to interplanetary relations simply because her key moment had come away from the media's cameras, on another world altogether. In contrast to the most viewed video clips of all time, which featured Dan engaging with the messengers in two locations close to Phil's heart, there was no footage of Tara's big moment, when her passionate words had bridged the interplanetary gap to ensure peace from a council room on New Kerguelen. When all was said and done, Dan was and would always be the figurehead. Phil Norris, a patriot and individualist to the core, who was also known within his small circle of trust as a highly dedicated prepper, was instinctively opposed to any kind of organizational structure that gave one man too much power. As the ICA's split from the UN's framework looked set to create a position of unchecked power like none before, Phil took great solace from his certainty that Dan McCarthy was just about the only man in the world who could never be corrupted. The pride on Henry McCarthy's face was a sight for sore eyes, as the grill's huge TV screen cut away from Dan's speech to the usual collection of talking heads in the ACN studio, and Phil found his eyes lingering.
"Take a picture," Henry yelled over the general hubbub. "It'll last longer."
Phil raised a middle finger and got back to serving his customers. When he opened the cash register, fit to bursting with money he really owed to Dan's actions having put Birchwood on the map, he glanced over at Henry one last time and couldn't help but smile. In a world in which Phil deemed so few worthy of his trust, they were good friends to have.